does everyone, I asked this yesterday, I know most of you do, but are there some people here that don't speak English? Is there anyone here that doesn't speak English, you think, Prabhu?
Oh, you have another class for Hindi? Huh? Oh, good, okay. So I can just speak.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Invocation. Yeah? We are offering our respectful obeisances unto the all-pervading Vasudev. Yeah? Sometimes people say, why you respect so much the Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita? Right? Just only 2 weeks ago, I was in a taxi cab in New York City, and I was talking with one of my godbrothers on the phone. So as I'm driving along, I'm speaking with him. And, of course, the subject matter, Krishna, you know. So the cab driver was from India. He was from Delhi. But he was Islamic, Muslim. So he said, what do you know about Krishna? So I said, oh, I know everything about Krishna. What do you want to know? And he said, why you worship idols? So I said, why do we worship idols? You mean, why do we worship the deity? Why do we respect the deity? And he said, yes, why do you do that? And I said, have you ever heard this verse in India? You're from India, yeah? And he said, yeah. I said, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. He said, yes, I heard that. It's common, right? I said, well, that verse, that invocation says that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Vasudev, is everywhere. And he said, yes. I said, you believe he's everywhere? Do you pray? He said, yes. I said, well, do you drive in all five boroughs of New York City? And he said, yes. You understand what I'm saying, everyone? The boroughs, Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, Staten Island. You understand? So I said, when you're driving your cab around New York, do you only pray in Manhattan? Because you think, well, in Queens, God can't hear me? He said, no. I said, when you drive your car in Brooklyn, do you stop praying because, well, in Brooklyn, God can't hear me? He said, no. I said, so Allah, Krishna, he's in Brooklyn, he's in Queens, he's in Manhattan, he's in Staten Island, he's in India, he's in America. He said, of course. I said, he's in the deity. He's everywhere. And he went, oh, you are tricky. So I said, that's why we worship Krishna. Because Krishna is everywhere, and he also agrees to accept that beautiful form, so we can focus with our material senses, right? Because Krishna, in his original form, his actual form, in the spiritual, Gopi Vrindavan, cannot be perceived with these materialistic eyes, right? Atak Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Grayam Indriyai Sevon Mukehi Jivado Svayam Eva Sparatyada. So the material senses are called blunt, right? They can only perceive a little bit, just barely. And without the sun, we can't perceive anything. Isn't it? If there was no sunlight, think about that. Even to manufacture electricity, originally we need the sun. Okay? And it's energy. And then that energy gets stored, then converted, and transformed into electricity. So that the sun goes down at night, but still we can turn the light on. We have saved a little bit of the solar energy in the form of electricity. Isn't it? So, Krishna can't be seen. But he can be seen with our eyes, because he agrees to appear here in his deity form. And he can be perceived with our ears through the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. sound vibration. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada refers to the Bhagavatam. In one purport, he calls the Srimad Bhagavatam the literary incarnation of God. Right? You remember that? The literary incarnation. So Krishna takes many forms, and Srimad Bhagavatam is one of the most beautiful forms, because we take that with our hearing, and then throughout the day we remember. Just like today, whatever we discussed this morning, today when you're doing your service, you'll remember, right? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So nice. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam, fourth canto, chapter 29, text number 1, new chapter. Talks between Narada Muni and King Prachinibarhi. Narada Muni is always appearing in the Bhagavatam, right? He's always showing up, giving instructions to one person. But then they record those instructions, and everyone can benefit. He gives to one, and everyone gets the mercy. Prachinibarhir. Prachinibarhir uvacha. Translation. King Prachinibarhi replied, "My dear Lord, we could not appreciate completely the purport of your allegorical story of King Paranjan. Actually, those who are perfect in spiritual knowledge can understand, but for us, who are overly attached to fruitive activities, to realize the purpose of your story is very difficult." Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, "Shri Bir Gunamayar Bhavayar Abi Sarvamidam Jagat Mohitam Nabi Jananti Mamevyak Paramavyayam." Deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible. Generally, people are enchanted by the three modes of the material nature, and therefore practically unable to understand that behind all materialistic activities in the cosmic manifestation is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Generally, when people are engaged in sinful or pious activities, they are not perfect in knowledge of devotional service. The allegorical story narrated by Narada Muni to King Parishman is especially meant to engage conditioned souls in devotional service. The entire story, narrated allegorically, is easily understood by a person in devotional service. But those who are engaged not in devotional service, but in sense gratification, cannot perfectly understand it. That is admitted by King Bharishman. This 29th chapter describes that by too much attachment for women, one becomes a woman in the next life. But a person who associates with the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his representative becomes free from all material attachments and is thus liberated. Om Agyan. Mahatsevam Dwaram Ahur Vimuktes Tamo Dwaram Yoshita Sanghi Sangam. Srila Prabhupada closes this purport by saying that one who cultivates attachment for sense gratification in this material world, which is only really tasty in the company of the opposite sex, then in his next life, he gets demoted and he has to take birth as a woman. Sometimes people from the Western countries, when they hear something like that, they think that's very discriminatory, isn't it? They think, how you can speak like that? Do you have some prejudice against women? You think that women are bad or something? No, no, no. No. But every material body is a manifestation of a particular consciousness. And the female mind and body are more inclined towards fruitive activities, sense gratification. It's natural. They are thinking of, it is natural for them to think in terms of expanding the family, right? It's natural. When a man is not associating with woman, but associating with a renunciant, he starts to think in terms of minimizing, right? Minimizing his needs. Everything becomes reduced. When I was a brahmachari, for 8 years, I had three dhotis, three kurtas, bead bag, Gita, Bhagavad Gita, a pair of card towels, and two sets of karmi clothes for sankirtan. One sankirtan bag, my sloka book, that's and a picture of Prabhupada. That's all I had. After I was a brahmachari for 4 years, one devotee came and gave me a watch. I didn't even have a watch. And then, in my fifth year, one devotee came and he gave me a tape recorder so as a gift, so I could listen to Prabhupada. That's all I had. My devotees that were in charge of my service, I was working for the BBT, and I was traveling around doing sankirtan and training brahmacharis how to distribute Prabhupada's books. Oh, I had a mridanga too. Very nice mridanga. And so on a moment's notice, they would call me. I would be in Denver, Colorado, and they would call me, Pragosh, we want you to fly to Seattle tomorrow and stay in Seattle for 2 weeks and train all the boys. No problem, Maharaj. I'll go tomorrow. Get a flight. Fly off. Huh? Next 2 weeks, somebody called me. Pragosh, we want you to fly to Toronto. Go to Toronto and just stay with the boys. Every day, go out on sankirtan. I put my few things in a bag. Fly off. No problem. In Mayapur in 1975, I think. No, 76. We were on a walk with Srila Prabhupada. And on this walk, there were brahmacharis, sannyasis, grihastas. And there was some discussion, Prabhupada. The discussion started as to which ashram was the easiest ashram to engage in devotional service. What was the easiest? So the sannyasis, there were a few sannyasis there. They started saying how sannyas was such an advantageous ashram. People were naturally respectful. You could impress upon them Krishna consciousness, blah, blah, blah. Then the grihastas, one grihasta, Sri Govinda Prabhu, he said, no, grihasta ashram is the best. It's the safest ashram. You have your wife, she protects you. No other women. Your mind is peaceful. You can do your work, blah, blah, blah. So Prabhupada stopped and he said, no, I think brahmachari ashram, that's the best. And then he looked at all the brahmacharis and he said, yes? He said, because so little is needed. A little service, a little prasad, and 6 feet of space. Prabhupada had his bead bag. He went, 6 feet of space to lay down at night and sleep, to rest up, so that tomorrow, the next day, you can again serve Guru and Krishna. Sometimes when I argue with my wife, I always say, well, I only promised you A little prasad, a little seva, and 6 feet of space. That's all I promised you. So, this is the point. That they say in English, there's an English proverb, he who flies alone flies the fastest. Huh? Our God brother Achyutananda Swami one time gave a class in New York City. And he said, when you are a brahmachari, you have only 10 fingers and 10 toes and 32 teeth. Right? So you have to take care of 10 fingernails, keep them clean, 10 toenails, keep them clean, and 10 teeth, or 32 teeth. Maybe when you're old, 10 teeth. He said, but then you get married, now you have 20 fingernails and 20 toenails and 64 teeth. And then you have a baby, 96 teeth, 30 fingernails and 30 toenails. Huh? It just expands and expands and expands. So the idea is that without Krishna consciousness, that expansion becomes a burden. Isn't it? It becomes a heavy weight. Just like someone's coming up the stairs, they're carrying a big bag of rice. Right? And you come up and say, hey Prabhu, could you carry this too? Boom. And you put another bag of rice. Oh, sure Prabhu, no problem. And you're carrying that. And then, hey Prabhuji, can you carry this too? Boom. You know? Then another one. Then another one. When Prabhupada arrived in Hawaii in 1974, he got off the plane and there were so many devotees giving Prabhupada garlands. So the garlands kept up. Pretty soon, you couldn't see Prabhupada's head. There was all garlands. And one lady came and she wanted to offer Prabhupada a garland. And Prabhupada said, wait. And he was laughing. And he took one garland, put it on one devotee, put a garland, put it on another devotee, another garland. And then he went, okay. And he took another garland. So you can only humanly carry so much. You see? So, the idea is that this expansion, if it's not for Krishna, then it becomes a distraction. It becomes a burden. It becomes a weight. But we should not make the mistake of thinking that the Matajis are actually a weight. Because Prabhupada actually says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, because our men and women are both Krishna conscious, they are preaching with double strength. Right? In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Prabhupada says, no, he says redoubled strength. Redoubled. So much is accomplished in the temples. Just like now, all these beautiful garlands are being made. Right? Chandan is being made. Prasadam is being made. Right? These become extra hands. And, more importantly, most important, another voice in the kirtan. I can tell you by experience, when I went to Portugal in 1981 to open up a temple there, it was myself and a devotee named Anantadev and a devotee named Kuladev. Three. So every day we would go on Harinam, just the three of us. One Murdunga, two pairs of cartels. We go all over the city, chanting, 4 or 5 hours a day. So, then some devotees from Spain came and visited, 5 devotees. And after chanting for 1 month, with just 3 people, when we had suddenly 8 people, okay, on the Harinam, it felt like we were a Maha temple. I felt like I was in, you know, New York temple or Los Angeles temple. It was amazing. And even the non-devotees, they were like, my gosh, you were 3, now you're 8. This is amazing. And my wife was the first devotee to join the temple. So my godbrother Kuladev, he was a little resistant. He said, we only have 3 brahmacharis. We can't let a woman come and join the temple. We don't have any place for her. And I said, well, we're preaching. She came. Krishna sent her. That's what came. We have to accept. So I told my wife, she wasn't my wife then. I said, you can stay, but no problems. Keep your head covered, be humble, chant Hare Krishna, and listen to the philosophy. Is that okay? She said, yes, Prabhu. Not Prabhu, she said, yes. And I said, and no makeup. Get rid of the makeup. She said, okay. She left, came back with her things, she joined the temple. My godbrother, he was a little upset. And I said, but it's another voice in the kirtan. Now we have 4. And immediately she would go out. She spoke the language every day. She would go out and she would beg flowers. And if the people would not give the flowers, then she would wait. And she would go pick them anyway and bring them for Krishna. So in this way, in the Krishna consciousness environment, we transcend the difficulties that are associated in the material world with expansion. Because we are not expanding for simply our sense gratification. We are expanding, right, to increase the number of people who can take up the chanting. Just like I was recently flying from New York to London, and from London I was flying here. So on the flight from New York, I was sitting next to one man. He asked me, where am I going? I said, I'm going to London, then to India. And he said, oh, India. Such overpopulation. Ah, they really have problems. I said, no, they don't have any problems at all. He said, what, are you kidding? India has so much problems. Poverty. I said, poverty? What's poverty? Everyone's poor. When you die, you leave with nothing. You can't take anything with you. Everyone dies a pauper. Right? Isn't it? Everyone dies a poor man. All his money he must leave behind. Right? When 9/11 happened and the Trade Center came down, 261 millionaires died in 1 minute. 261. All their money, gone. So I said, America, everyone's a poor man in America. When they die poor too. And I said, plus, in the human form of life, we have ears, Prabhupada said, right, in teachings of Queen Kunti. Prabhupada said, specially blessed human life, ears and a tongue. So we can vibrate, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You cannot have too many people in the kirtan, isn't it? Can you have too many people in the kirtan? Maybe too many cartels, but not too many people. I have 6 children, 4 sons, 2 daughters. So, after my twin daughters were born, my brother, he said, so now you're going to stop, right? Huh? No more. I come from a family of 10 children. My father and mother had 10 children. So he said, now you're going to stop, right? I said, why? Why? Look, they're devotees chanting. I'm going to make more devotees. Of course. He said, you're crazy. I said, no, Krishna. Now he has nothing but problems with his children. Nothing but problems. And my children, they fight over details about deity worship. Pita, Nimai said that we have to offer 3 times. I think it's 2 times. What? Who's right? As a father, you know, you can be very happy. Peter, you cannot let me, my, he cannot treat Krishna like this. I make a daily sweet every day, and he's taking for Giriraj. This is Krishna Balaram's sweet. He has to make his own sweet. Right? In the material world, children are fighting over the video games, they're fighting over the money, right? They're fighting over the remote control, right? They're fighting who gets to go here, go there. My children, they fight, I just laugh. I think, oh, that's great. So the idea is that expansion of Krishna consciousness is a good thing. It's wanted. We cannot have too many people. Devotees are fearless. When we go on Harinam, we're chanting, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. And literally we are saying, just like you know, the householder, he is supposed to go on the step. His wife cooks the feast, then he goes out, he says, if anyone's hungry, please, come and eat. Right? He's supposed to say that three times. So, when we go on Harinam, actually we're saying that. We're saying, everyone, you are hungry for Krishna. You're hungry for Krishna. Please come. Come and eat. Take prasad. Take the holy name. Take sadhu sangha. Please come. Everyone come. Right? We're inviting everyone. And initially, they don't all come. But gradually, they become infected. Yesterday I was listening to one lecture by Srila Prabhupada. And he said that Narada Muni became a Vaishnava because he became infected with the association of the Bhaktivedantas by taking the prasadam that had been eaten by the great souls. He took their remnants. And Prabhupada said, just like if you eat food touched by a man with tuberculosis or jaundice, or cholera, or typhoid. Prabhupada said, you can get that disease. Right? So similarly, if you eat prasadam, if you honor prasadam that has been touched by Krishna's lips and eaten by the devotees, cooked by devotees, you get infected. Like we were talking yesterday, you get infected. And then gradually the infection grows. And grows. Right? So, this is the secret insurmountable potency. Insurmountable potency. Just like we say, Prabhupada explains here, the material energy is insurmountable. The modes of nature. Right? That is Krishna's Mahamaya. If Mahamaya is insurmountable, we can only imagine how insurmountable is Yogamaya. Right? If Mahamaya is insurmountable, Yogamaya is many times more insurmountable. The whole world is going to become Krishna conscious. Well, sometimes we say, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki. Right? Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki! Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki! We say Prabhupada is the guru of the entire universe, right? Not just this world. Jagat. The whole universe. It's not a cliche. One time Srila Prabhupada arrived in San Francisco in 1974 for the Rath Yatra. So one newspaper reporter, he said, Swamiji, how many disciples do you have? And Prabhupada said, everyone is my disciple. Some know it, and some don't. But everyone. Right? So, here, Maharaj Prachinibari is saying to Narada Muni that the story that you've explained is a little indirect. Could you please elaborate for me? So now, in chapter 29, Narada Muni, who just finished telling the story, is now going to break down the story. You know? Sometimes you see a movie director being interviewed, right? Like you see now, they give the movie on these DVDs. They give the movie, and they also have a director's special edition interviews with the director, with the actors, right? And they tell more detail about what they were doing when they were filming this scene, when they were doing this plot, when they were making this story, inserting this invention, etc., etc. So now Narad Muni is going to get into the fine detail of this story of Paranjan and explain all of the different details of the story so that Maharaj Parchini Barhishat can relate this whole pastime to his own situation. And then he becomes motivated to act. So this is a very, very nice chapter and a very nice purport here. Srila Prabhupada says, if we are engaged in devotional service and we have a devotional mentality, then we can understand easily. But if we don't have a devotional mentality, we have some resentment to the story. So we find some flaw. It's make-believe, blah, blah, blah. You see? But it's better to have the truth. Just like recently I went to the doctor here at the hospital. So I have some problem. And I said to the doctor, just tell me the truth. What is my situation? I just need to know the truth. You understand? So it's like that. Krishna, he doesn't hold back. He tells us the truth. Narada Muni tells the truth. Vyasadeva tells the truth. Prabhupada, only the truth. One time in Hawaii, Prabhupada was giving class and he gave an example. He used as an example the surfers. You know, the surfers, they surf. So Prabhupada, just like I'll give you an example. These sea sufferers. And so one devotee was down by the side of the Vyasasan, Shruti Kirti. And he said, you mean surfers, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, what is that? And he said, surfers, not sufferers, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, you call surfers, I call sufferers. And Prabhupada said, yes, because in their next life, they will have to take birth as a porpoise. Porpoise, Prabhupada said, a porpoise. What is that fish? Porpoise? He likes to swim and play in the water, jumping and splashing. Very nice, Prabhupada said. He can play all day. And then one day, the shark comes and eats him. That is suffering. So, the sea sufferers, Prabhupada. Truth. So, this point here made in regards to Paranjan becoming a woman in his next life, we should not desire to become a woman in our next life, and no woman should desire to become a man, let me tell you. Oh. Isn't it? We know as men, it's suffering as a man. Woman is the object of sense gratification. Man is the so-called enjoyer. Right? But it's suffering. Whatever, it's suffering. Nothing is what it seems. In America, they have one cigarette. It's called Cool. You know, you've seen maybe advertisements. Cool. K-O-O-L. So Srila Prabhupada was in a car once riding, and he saw an advertisement. And there were rings of smoke coming from the cigarette, you know. And he said, this is Maya. They are smoking fire and calling it cool. The absolute opposite. Right? Cool fire. What is that? So it is not discrimination that we are cautious in our dealings with the Matajis. And that Matajis are cautious in their dealings with men. That is not discrimination. That is intelligence. Right? That's caution. Some years ago, I was distributing books at a fair in America, a state fair. And an electric wire exploded and separated from the pole. and fell to the ground. And people were screaming and running, and this wire was going all over on the ground. Sparks flying everywhere, you know? It was very dangerous. So immediately, they shut down all the electric power that came into the fair. And everything, all the lights went out. And they pulled all the people back, and they called the fire department. And I was watching this, you know, and the fire department came in, they put the people back, and they very carefully grabbed the wire at the one end. It's a big cable. And they gradually inched their way forward as it was going all over, you see? If it had touched you, dead immediately. Right? So, our relationships in this material world with everything have to be dealt with very great caution. Because just like electricity, it can be used. We have the fans cooling us, the lights we can read, right? Air conditioning, purify water, heat. So many benefits are there. But also there's a danger side. If it's not handled correctly, it can be the ruination, right? One time Prabhupada said you can take a knife and you can use it to cut a sabji and make a nice vegetable sabji. Or that same knife you can cut your throat. So you have to be cautious. A man from Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada actually says something very, very beautiful in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Thus the wise living entity's pure consciousness becomes covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. The senses, the mind, and the intelligence are the sitting places of this lust. Through them, lust covers the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders him. Okay? Now listen to Prabhupada's purport. Srila Prabhupada says, the enemy has captured different strategic positions in the body of the conditioned soul. And therefore, Lord Krishna is giving hints of those places so that one who wants to conquer the enemy may know where he can be found. Okay? So that's a very, very interesting point. Then he says, the mind is the center of all the activities of the senses. And thus, when we hear about sense objects, the mind generally becomes a reservoir of all the ideas of sense gratification. Okay? So this is, a man is instructed by the guru from an early age how to control the mind, how to control the intelligence, the mind, and the senses. Right? If he accepts responsibility for a wife and children, now he's not only responsible for his own intelligence and his mind and his senses, but now he has to also be responsible for another intelligence, mind, and senses. You see? So it's a difficult task. And if your wife was not, as we say in English, equal to the task, up to the task, you know, sharing your desire to get out of this material world, then it would be like swimming with a bowling ball in your... You know what bowling is? You know bowling? Do they have bowling in India? No. But you know what bowling is, right? So the ball is very heavy. Very heavy, big ball. So imagine, you take one bowling ball, tie it to left foot, another bowling ball, tie it to your right foot, and say, okay, now swim across the river. No. Not going to happen. Straight down. Right? So similarly, when we associate with anyone, not just a woman, even a friend, therefore it says we don't associate with women or men who are attached to women. Because then we're going to go down. We only associate with devotees, man or woman, who are eager to go back to God, eager to go back to Krishna, eager to please Krishna even in this life. Then controlling our intelligence, our mind, our senses becomes easy. So we're not discriminating against women any more than we're discriminating against our own intelligence and our own mind and our own senses, right? We're not discriminating against them. We're just cautiously dealing with them. Cautiously dealing. Now in America, in the West, you see, everyone, they just live for sense gratification. So they have no restraint in any way, no restraint. But Vedic culture is based on the restraint of the material, like it's explained in Bhagavad Gita, controlling the lower self with the higher self, right? The lower self controlled by the higher self. And it's very easy if we grab hold of the spiritual master's instructions. 16 rounds, minimum. Carefully avoid the 10 offenses. See the deities, serve the devotees, and chant always, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then it becomes easy, swiftly. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Swiftly, like an arrow. We have to keep our eye on the target. There's one story in the Mahabharata how Dronacharya was going to teach the Pandavas archery. Right? So he called them each forward. He called Yudhisthira. He had placed in the tree one bird, artificial bird made out of straw and cloth, way up in the tree. So he asked Yudhisthira, now do you see that bird? And he said, yes, I do. He said, what else do you see? He said, oh, I see the branches, I see the leaves, I see the twigs. I see, no, go away. You're never going to be an archer. Go away. Next. So Bhima came. You see that bird? He said, oh yes, I see the bird. I see the branches. I see the tree. I see the clouds behind the bird. Oh, go away. You're never going to be... Get out. Go. You stick with wrestling. You stick with the club. Then he called Arjuna. He said, okay, I want you to shoot that bird out of the tree. I want you to aim your arrow at the bird. So Arjuna was very young. He's aiming. He said, what do you see? He said, I see the bird. He said, what else do you see? I only see the eye of the bird. You don't see anything else? Nothing. No, there's something else there. No, nothing. I see only the eye of the bird. Dronacharya said, fire. Arjuna's arrow went right into the eye of the bird. Srila Prabhupada says we have to focus on our devotional service like that. Focus on fulfilling the instructions of the spiritual master. Very simple. Every day we sit down and we personally associate with the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is dancing on our tongue. Right? He's dancing on our tongue, Srila Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita. And we associate with Him. And we let Him work His magic. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And we do this every day. And Krishna, he takes over. He performs all of the miracles. That is his job. He's the incarnation for the age of Kali Yuga. Our job is to delight in his pastime. Our job is to serve his pastime, to participate in his pastime by sharing this mantra with others. Right? That's our bliss. That's our duty. When Mahavishnu came to this earth, just prior to the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he appeared as Advaita Acharya. And he's Mahavishnu. He's Vishnu. He could have annihilated all the demons. Right? He could have spread the glories of the holy name if he wanted to. But he said, I cannot. That is only possible for you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Hari, Krishna. That is your pastime, not mine. All I can do is petition you to come. Please come and give us the nectar of this pastime. Let us see these pastimes. Yes, I could kill all the demons. Why not? Vishnu's in the heart. He could just rupture everyone's, all the demons' heart, right? Give all the demons on the planet a heart attack. Have you ever had this fantasy? You wish you could be invisible? You could go and you could hear what the demons are plotting, right? And you could cause havoc amongst the demons. Krishna actually does that. He is invisible. Krishna is greater than the greatest and smaller than the smallest. He's everywhere at the same moment. So how is the world going to be transformed? We look at the world today and we think it's going mad. It looks like madness. It's never been more crazy. But there have never been more devotees on the planet since Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here. Right? More and more and more and more devotees are being converted, are taking birth, and are taking up Krishna consciousness. More and more and more. Just like when you add yeast to flour and water, right? Mix it up and you let it sit. The flour just expands and expands and expands and expands, right? So this agent has been injected into the human society now. There is no overpopulation, not even in India. You cannot have too many human beings as long as they are chanting. Right? Because if they chant, even if they live in a difficult situation, so what? We can... But we can... If we have the holy name... We have everything. The devotees are actually like the Immigration Naturalization Service. We are giving everyone a passport to Vaikuntha. You want to go to Vaikuntha? You need a passport. Got to have a visa. How do I get a visa? Tadidhi panipatena parikprashnena sevaya. Upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatpadarshana. Just fall like a stick. Huh? At the lotus feet of the spiritual master. Inquire submissively and render some service. And that service begins Seva mukhehi jivado svayameva sparatyada. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then continues, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Up to the end, Srila Prabhupada, in his last pastimes, Prabhupada initiated the Krishna consciousness movement with kirtan, and he left this world in kirtan. And in between, kirtan, everywhere he went, kirtan. You see? So I thank you again for giving me a chance to speak a little bit on Srila Prabhupada's purport. If there are any questions or comments from any of you Prabhus, please offer. If not, then we'll just say all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.